Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking, Josh. And we're renaming the podcast Big Defense. I think we're going to be talking about defense a little bit here in this episode, right?
That's true. Yeah. I often kick around the idea of a full-on name rebrand from time to time. I still like.
Yeah, we want to get away from the Ashley Madison Google searches that we we come across.
I still like the Pacey Striker. Maybe someday that'll be. Maybe that'll just make that our Twitter, handle or something like that.
Yeah, Pacey nothing Striker. Says two Americans pretending to be football fans than something called Pacey Striker.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, Brandon, it is all about the defense this week. It's all about Richarlison. And it wasn't until I was talking to my wife that I realized how truly ridiculous the name Richarlison is.
She said, did you say that right? Are you talking about Richardson, maybe? Or just a gentleman named Richard?
Saturday afternoon, I've got the game on, and he scores the first goal. And I said, he's on my team. And I was like, she's like, what's his name? And I was like, well, it's Richarlison. Uh-huh. And it's a weird name. You know, it doesn't sound like a real name. It sounds like a name in like a 10th grader's, like a story he had to write for class, like an English major's, bad fantasy.
Our spouses learn these names. Like, my wife has zero interest in sports, full stop, but she'll walk through the living room and she'll just say Hazard, or she'll say Salah. My wife, she doesn't really understand what that means, but it's kind of just by situational awareness, I guess, she's learning these names. Richarlison is not going to be a name that she says walk through the living room.
It's too many syllables, for one thing.
All right, Josh, we're meandering here. Game week one, it's in the books. First of all, we went out and we watched the game at the Black Horse on Friday. That was kind of an anomaly in terms of the season's back. But you get up Saturday morning and you start watching Premier League. How do you feel?
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about Friday, because, Friday, I don't know if it was smart or not. I don't think it would have changed anything about my team, but I had decided, I actually had a comp day coming from a conference I'd gone to recently. And so I saved the comp day for this first Friday of the season. The game starts at 3:00 here in the US. So for me, I would have had to take the day off to watch the match. So I was like, well, I have this day off. I'm going to go see the Mission Impossible movie that I'm going to make the most of the day. We got the kid in daycare. Let's make it a day. So, okay. So we schedule an 11:30 showing of Mission Impossible, which I've worked it out. I went to the Alamo Drafthouse website. I figured out that the movie will end at 2:02 PM, a full 2 minutes after the game week one deadline. Now, Brandon, okay. Did I get up in the middle of that movie to check my team, make sure my captain was correct? Yes, I did.
Yeah. I was going to guess that you did. So, yeah, I'm glad that you confirmed that. Okay. Yeah. So, did you have – what went through your mind there? Did you have moves in mind that you were – that had plagued you during the first half of the movie? You're like, I've got to get up and make these tweaks.
The only concern I had was whether Eric Bailly might not start. And I went online. I read a couple of the – a lot of the Manchester reporters, really, especially when it comes to Man United, are – very clued into that team. They typically are very accurate. Sam Luckhurst is a writer on Twitter who, just like very much has his finger on the pulse of that team. So I went, I checked out his Twitter feed. He seemed to confirm that Bailly was starting. I said, okay, great. Decision's done. Let's go, let's watch the rest of this movie. So then we all meet up. We watch the game. It is.
Wait. Stop.
Yep.
Okay. Go back. When you book the tickets for Mission Impossible, Did it occur to you when you were making the movie plans that you were going to be sequestered in a movie theater during the most important 2 hours of the preseason?
Intentional. Yeah. I mean, it's like cramming for a test. You don't make your best decisions when you're cramming. No. Your brain is not in the right place. Like, how many times over the years, before the game week one deadline or when you're on a wild card or whatever, with an hour to go, do you make some ridiculous move, right? I mean, I'm sure half people listening to this podcast in the last hour, if they were able to get on the site, I know the site was down for a little while, in the last hour, like, took out, Luke Shaw, and put in, whomever, I don't know,
Ben some Davis,
Everton defender or something. What's that?
Ben Davis, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it happens all the time. And so I was like, I don't want to put myself in that position. So Thursday night I spent, I mean, you know, no joke, hours and hours, you know, tinkering with my team, trying to get it where I wanted to be. And then, yeah, so we watched the match and it's going fine. It's not a particularly exciting match. It was pretty one-sided throughout. You know, interesting because of the Luke Shaw goal, obviously. But Leicester really wasn't super competitive. I mean, I guess they had moments in the first half. But then this kind of insane goal at the end in the 92nd yes. minute. And it was like I felt the blood rush out of my face. I mean, I mean, okay, you were watching me. How did I react? I mean, I'm in a pretty emotional fantasy person.
Yeah.
Like, was I keeping it together or like how was I?
I've been in this exact situation at the Black Horse with you many, many times. It cuts one way or another. Either you're having a downtime and I'm trying to boost you up because it's not fun watching games with you when you're miserable.
Right.
Or you're having a good one, and it's totally reversed, and I'm miserable.
Right. Exactly. And you are uncheerupable when you're miserable. I can be made to come around. You are – like, we almost got into a fist fight last year. Like, I'm like, after you had your wild card.
Yeah. When you try and cheer me up, I feel like you're making fun of me, and I don't appreciate that.
you give me more credit for being competitive than I deserve. I feel the same way. Many people listening, I'm sure, understand. You don't want to be around someone who's miserable watching fantasy. That's not fun.
So I was watching you when the Vardy goal goes in, and your expression was not – you weren't immediately crestfallen. It was just disbelief. I don't think that you could quite comprehend what just happened, and it was a slow realization of, oh man, that clean sheet that I have basically now built my entire game week one around,
right,
the centerpiece, right, the showpiece, the yes. Eric Bailly clean sheet is now just disappeared off right. of some insane I mean, I thought David De Gea had a couple of good shot stops in the game, but his distribution was poor. We're getting
his
a little bit of runoff.
Poor. I yeah. know. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, it was frustrating because it was such a fantasy moment too, because, you know, you sort of do the work and, you know, sort of figure out that, you know, Eric Bailly looks like he's going to be healthy. If he plays well, reasonable chance he's going to have, you know, a run out. He could possibly play the entire season, right? Like if he plays well, he could play 30 plus matches this year. And he did play well. Mm-hmm. And Luke Shaw, 0.5 million cheaper, a very tempting option, but a player who, you know, if he had a bad game week one, was going to get replaced by Ashley Young probably starting next week, right?
Yeah.
And so now he scores this goal, a very good goal, late in the match. Probably keeps his spot for a while. And
I stop you right there though?
Yeah.
It was a good goal and that was a good finish, but it was a fortunate bounce to get it into his path. And just prior to that, we had been talking for the entire game about what a liability Luke Shaw was. He was slow.
Yeah,
he was misplacing so many passes, missing tackles. I don't see how, particularly if you're Jose Mourinho and you basically use Luke Shaw as a punching bag, how one goal suddenly changes how he feels about him. Ashley Young is still straight in.
Yeah, I don't know. But Mourinho was very positive about him after the match. You know, we'll see. I still think that his spot is under threat. But, you know, it just goes down to what a coin flip these decisions can make. And, you know, you just have to deal with that. Like, I mean, this is, you know, it's like you just have to, like, remember that this is a game, that this is – that we are not playing these matches, you know, and we are just sort of making like our best guess based on the information. And you try to think things through and, you know, you say to yourself, all right, well, you know, Bailly is the more stable option. So I'll spend the extra 0.5 million. And sometimes, you know, you get, you know, hurt by it. And, but it shouldn't, you know, you have to just roll with the punches because that stuff does, like, it evens out over the course of a season. You know, you'll get lucky. You'll get as lucky as you get unlucky. And it's just the sort of nature of things that you remember when things go well, or you remember when things don't go well, and you sort of forget when you got lucky and things did go well.
Right. I'll put a little button on this story just as you're saying, bring it back to reality. So you, when that goal went in, you were disappointed from a fantasy perspective. There was a guy at the bar standing in front of us who had put money on the game, and he stood to win $500 if he beat the point spread, which he needed United to win by two goals. So he freaked out when that Luke Shaw goal went in. He's like, I just won $500. So I was watching you, Josh, and your disappointment, and then how he was also handling that disappointment. What a moment that was for somebody who was having a pure watch, such as myself.
Who handled it better then?
Well, I didn't tell him that I loved him. I did turn to you and you that I loved
you. You did. So. It worked. Yeah. You talked me off the ledge. It was a good moment. It was a good fantasy moment in a way. It sort of turned around in the end.
Yeah. Speaking of turning around, should we talk about our game weeks in general, game week one?
Definitely. Yeah. For anybody who's new to the podcast, we're going to run through our teams. We're going to run through the Patreon, the Always Cheating Super League Top 10. This week, we've got an interesting, the way we're going to organize this podcast is sort of 10 things that we think after game week one, right? So it's sort of 10 different ideas. We're going to take questions within that. And then we're going to do a preview of game week two as well. So a little bit of recap, possible moves going into game week two. I even talk about early wild cards, stuff like that. But first, Brandon, our game weeks, they're both pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'm fairly happy. I finished on 87 points, which as if overall rank counts for anything at the end of game week one, but I'm sitting at 108,221. And it was all down to my defense. So I guess since I haven't yet really posted my team to social, you can find links to both of our teams at alwayscheating.com. Just go to the About tab. But it was a huge outlay of defenders for me. Ederson in goal. And I frankly couldn't make up my mind. And this is how we ended up with this defense. I was like, Van Dijk or Robertson? Van Dijk or Robertson? I'll just get both. And then I did the same with Manchester City. I was like, Mendy or Ederson? Mendy or Ederson? I'll just get both. Yep. And of course, you're asking the same question about Crystal Palace, right, Josh? Tompkins or Wan-Bissaka? Tompkins or Wan-Bissaka? Why not just get both? So I started four at the back with Van Dijk, Robertson, Tompkins, and Mendy. And just insane output from those guys. And Ederson, who had a pretty appalling game, particularly in the second half, misplaced passes, dangerous plays. And I remember one save that Ederson made, but apparently he made a total of three, which got him into the bonus. 8 points from him on the day. Not so bad.
Yeah, it was weird that Ederson and Allison both got bonus points. I'm not sure how that's possible. they were irrelevant to this match, both those players. It's just a strange thing.
Something with these keepers, and the same point is made of defenders on these teams that do pass out of the back, is keepers like Allison and Ederson are accruing BPS just for playing so many short passes out of their box.
Yeah,
so I think that does help.
It's clearly a flaw in the system, though, right? Because okay. All right. I don't want to. It's too early for me to start. Let's wait till game week 18 or something before I start.
I did notice that BPS bonus is somewhere down the running order, so we can talk about that when we get there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, big points from my defense. My midfield, some good and some bad. I guess mostly good and not a lot of bad. Solid captaincy. Richarlison with the brace. We talked about Richarlison last week and that I came around on Richarlison where it's like, where are my goals going to come from in the midfield apart from Salah? And there he pops up with the brace. Mesut Ozil with a two-pointer. He looked like classic Ozil against Man City. Slow, angry, disinterested at points.
I thought the last 15, 20 minutes, he was basically playing like as a forward, I think. Yeah. I know that Emery plays in a 4-3-3 system. And I think that he was at the center of the attack in that system. I think that he had Abba and Laka on either side of him and he was playing through the middle, which was very interesting.
It's that, or Laka was playing in the middle and Ozil, who was playing more off to the left, I think, when it was Ozil, Mickey and Aubameyang. And then I think Ozil just moved centrally right behind Lacazette.
Right.
I don't know. Check out the heat maps.
Yeah. And I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but I actually think that Arsenal's attack looked pretty good. I could see wanting to have a piece of that going into some of their easier fixtures. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want to do that right now. I mean, going into game week two away to Chelsea. Not that I'm like terrified by that Chelsea defense. Actually, I would not recommend bringing in a Chelsea defender at this point, but I do think that it's just not a great fixture regardless, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, wait till game week three if you don't have any Arsenal players. I mean, you know, Socrates ended up on 0 points. Brendan, your boy.
Yeah, Lichtsteiner was the defender that impressed me. I mean, as predicted, he came in, he came onto the pitch and basically just lit a fire under everyone, including the referee.
At everybody. Did you see him screaming at the referee? That was amazing. He was so angry.
It was. It was. And I thought he played really nice. They looked
out of position.
They looked decent with him out there on the left. So yeah. you thought their attack looked decent, Arsenal's. What did you think about Aubameyang? I thought he didn't look right.
He was not the one who impressed me. I actually thought that it was really, you know, Lacazette was the one who I thought was kind of impressive, actually, in the second half. It was the whole Arsenal kind of, I mean, I thought their fullbacks played pretty well. I mean, Barron played pretty well. And I don't know. It was just like, it was just hard to judge because I thought the Man City defense was so good.
Yeah,
and they were. It, kind of amazing how good they were, considering that Ben Mendy like wasn't playing defense, right? It was like, like
he was just defenders. Tanking around that field. Mendy is what a player. He is like we both have him. We both love him. He looks like an FPL wonderkind this season after one game week, but he is the clumsiest. He is the clumsiest player out there. Like so many misplaced passes, just clattering into people. It's amazing. Then, it's amazing how he does it.
Oh, but then both passes were excellent. I mean, especially the Bernardo Silva, the link up with Sterling and Silva and Mendy was really beautiful. It was a great second goal. I mean, I really don't know if you can blame the Arsenal defense for that. I just thought it was really slick and it was like a training ground play. I mean, it was just so well, you know, so well timed.
Yeah. So the one that we need to talk about here in my midfield is Diogo Jota. He came through with an assist. I think we're going to talk a bit more about Wolves and midfield, but so let's not even really address it here. We'll wait till we get to our 10 questions. But the question will be, if you're a Jota owner, are you jumping on the Neves bandwagon right away? So that's a question that we have to answer.
Yeah. We will get into that. Yeah. Later on in the pod.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell on it here before we get to your team. But up front, Josh King, Sergio Aguero, nothing from either of them. I benched Arnautovic. Dale Stevens comes in as my fifth midfielder. And everyone's favorite bench player, Juan Bissaka, 12 points, clean sheet, 3 bonus. He completely skinned Ryan Sessegnon alive, one of the fastest youngest, brightest looking players new to the Premier League. And Wan-Bissaka had a field day with him. It was, it was incredible. It was embarrassing for Sessegnon to be honest.
Yeah. And like you, I have Wan-Bissaka on my bench as well. And whatever, you know, I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, Fulham should have scored a couple different times that match. I mean, Hennessy had a fantastic game. You know, if Hennessy doesn't do that, then it's the bonus point system.
And Schürrle should have had a penalty easily.
Right.
I do not understand how that was not called.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was, you know, the Fulham not scoring in that game actually had pretty massive fantasy implications. I mean, maybe not overall. I mean, the ownership levels for all of these players it's not super high, except for Zaha, I guess. So it didn't like change things radically, but it was just, I felt like within the community of people who are taking the game sort of extra seriously or whatever, like, I think if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably in that category, or to take it reasonably seriously. Like we all have like a Crystal Palace defender, right? They have good fixtures. They're super cheap. It seems like it's a team on the rise. They make good buys in the off season. But to me, this, you know, I really never seriously considered starting Wan-Bissaka. I mean, he was second on my bench.
Yeah, and some other people online are making the same point, and I fully back them here. You can't be bummed about Wan-Bissaka on your bench because you, like you're saying, Josh, you couldn't have made that call, but you take, it's not cold comfort, it should be actual comfort that you have one of the key star men from game week one who is value is going to skyrocket over the next couple of weeks.
He's 4 million. He's it'll probably be 4.3 by Friday. And you don't have to make a transfer to bring him in. You know, it's just, you've already got him. So either you're building team value or you just got him early. Either way, it's great.
Yeah. All right. So that's me, 87 points. How'd you do, Josh?
Yeah, I finished on 86, so one below you. It's kind of interesting because we our teams, some similarities, some differences. I had Mendy as well. I went with Allison over Robertson, which was just a late decision that I made. Kind of one of that convoluted. It was like, you know, you start to make – it's like, you know, when you're tinkering with your team right before the season starts, and it's like one move leads to another move leads to another move.
Yeah.
And in my head, I had a double Liverpool defense for a while, and then I was like, you know what? I really want Sadio Mane. I'm going to bring Mane in. And it was like when I was tinkering with my team, I needed the extra 0.5 million. So I ended up keeping Allison and dropping Robertson. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I actually probably had that extra 0.5 million and I could have kept Robertson and brought in someone like Ederson in defense. But, you know, whatever. Like it's, you know, it was one of those. Allison actually picked up, a phantom bonus point for passing the ball to his defenders.
For a cool beard.
Yeah, I think he had two saves, and one of them was like a super long range save in the 89th uh-huh. minute. So that's great. I'll take my side. So at the end, it was only a 4-point difference between those two. I did have Sadio Mane. I picked up 16 points from him. I do want to talk about him a little bit more later because I actually wonder if we need to start considering Sadio Mane a captain option for mm-hmm. some of these games.
He looks so good.
He looks so good. You know, I mean, he really was kind of had like a, like he was kind of star-crossed last year, you know, like he was, mm-hmm. I mean, he had 10 goals and 8 assists. It wasn't like it was a complete disaster of a season, but he missed a lot of games, had that red card in the Man City game, you know, missed some matches for. And, yep. But I mean, he's pretty much plays just the same role as Mo Salah, just on the other side of the pitch, you know? So, uh-huh. So I don't know. I think that he's, I mean, they play away to Crystal Palace in game week two. I mean, most likely I will captain Salah, but I actually think there's an argument for Mane for sure. Mm-hmm. So and maybe that's like just, you know, jumping on the bandwagon or whatever, but
no,
I
think it's less, I do agree with you because I think it's less you going off of game week one results. And as you're saying, looking at last season and saying he would have had more goals, more assists, more FPL points, I guess I should say, if he played more, which he will play more this season, and if he doesn't get injured or kick Ederson in the face again. So right. I don't think that's very knee jerky.
Yeah, probably on penalties too. I mean, if the off season is to be believed, you know, I don't know. I mean,
there's no, well, I
who knows?
I don't know. I'm not the Anfield Express, rest in peace, but, I don't know that you can take those off Mo Salah where he's going to try and bust every record yet again this season. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Mo Salah wasn't really in pens. He was kind of on and off and on pens again, right, last season. I mean, it wasn't like he was – I'm sure there are Liverpool fans out there who would know this better than I do. But he was on them, and then he missed one, and then wasn't like – I mean, obviously Milner was on pens for a while as well. So
yeah, right.
I don't know. I think there's at least a chance that Mane is on pens. I guess we don't know for sure until they have their first penalty. But we'll probably get a chance to find out in the next couple of weeks. I mean, just based on how good they looked. I mean, that team looked like they could actually genuinely contend with Man City for the title this year, which is pretty awesome.
Yep.
I mean, right. They look complete, right? The defense looked good. The midfield was good. I mean, they like how many chances did West Ham have in that game? Two? Like nothing. Yeah,
it's true. It is true. And I think the most shocking difference from last season is, yeah, how solid. Everyone will say, well, when Van Dijk came in, everything changed. They haven't conceded a single goal at Anfield in 6 months, I think the stat is. But it was a complete defensive performance and a defensive performance that you could tell even was pushing on the attack in ways that you hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't even talked about Naby Keita, who
right.
is a link there as well. So
we'll have our Keita so much corner. Don't worry about that. We'll get
Keita
there.
Keita corner, always, corner with a K.
Every podcast, Naby Keita will come up at some point or another. I don't need to rehash too much of this because our teams are fairly similar, but I had Bailly, which was very, you know, very frustrating to lose that clean sheet late, but you know, it's all good. I think he's going to keep starting.
He did look sensational, all things considered.
I thought so too. I thought he looked really good as well. Ben Davis, who I think I was saying to you earlier, that was like a total Twitter pick. Like I didn't really, or maybe like I guess our Patreon Slack, that was, he was getting like talked about by some folks there too. And I just sort of it turned my head a little bit, but I really didn't have Ben Davis on my team until Thursday at midnight, you know? And then I sort of talking about, you know, it was like, I'm not like blaming anybody, but it was just one of those, like, I didn't really feel it, you know, it was just like, I was kind of.
He was a true midnight marauder. We all have those players.
We all have those players, exactly. But I had Richarlison as well. I had Mane, I had Salah, I had Jota. It was weird. When Salah scored, it was like, when he's that highly owned and that highly captained, it's like, you're like, okay, good. It's like one down. You know, it was like, it was hard to be like, I was not racing around the apartment when he scored. It was like maybe a quiet fist pump. Like, all right, good.
Well, nice. if you were like many of us, a Robertson owner, that goal was inflated a little bit.
Oh, because, that's true. Yeah. So good point.
I was pretty stoked about that. I'm sure a lot of our listeners were.
Yeah. The Zaha goal was big for me because that was kind of when we turned around a little bit. I mean, his ownership is high, but I feel like his ownership in the, like, I don't know, FPL expert community or whatever, like, started to dip the last couple weeks. I feel like people were sort of talking themselves out of him, but I there was nothing I saw in the Fulham match that made me feel like he was anything but a player that my initial thought was actually to bring in Zaha and then drop him for Arnie in game week two. But I think I might just roll with him now. I mean, he's basically, they're playing a two forward setup basically with him and Benteke. I mean, it's not like he doesn't look like an out of position midfielder to me. He looks like a forward, you know, in their attack. So yeah.
I thought he did look a little out of control as we've come to know him.
Yeah, and the first half, he got the yellow card.
I mean, this game was a good test for me because, I had two Crystal Palace defenders, one on my bench, but as a Fulham fan and finally, Fulham back in the league, am I going to be able to balance my team alliance with fantasy? And I was pulling for Fulham all the way, and I was just tearing my TV off of the stand for the goalkeeping from Fabbri. Just played like a complete idiot. And well done to him for scoring that goal. But good finish. What was he doing? So I fully expect to see Sergio Rico in goal because Fabbri looks a liability for Fulham right now.
By the way, speaking of goalkeepers, I'm glad that I brought in Hamer as my backup keeper. I mean, I don't know if he'll ever really play, but if Hamer continues to start, a 4 million starting keeper, man, that's like a true rarity in FPL.
Yeah, that's huge. Speaking of rarities, I have a set and forget keeper with Ederson, but the thing that spooked me leading up to the game week one deadline was this talk of Ederson's impending the birth of his child that's coming up, and will he miss any match time because a baby is born? It's been known to happen.
A true FPL nerd moment right here, right? Get the latest reading, you know, from the doctor. Yep.
So I'm like, what am I going to do if Ederson doesn't start and I've just got some scrub goalkeeper on my bench? So I laid out another 0.5 to bring in Rui Patricio from Wolves. And now I have a starting Wolverhampton goalkeeper who is never going to see the light of day unless Ederson decides to take some quality family time, which power to him.
Also, a Wolves team that looks like they will not keep a single clean sheet all season.
They will be the Liverpool of 5 years ago, where it's like all showtime attack and zero defense.
They conceded two goals to Everton, even though they were a man up for the. I mean, they conceded one of the goals while it was still 11-11. They could have lost the game like 4-2, even though they scored right after they went up. Man, it was super fun. I mean, I'm like all in on Wolverhampton.
Oh, yeah. We were texting each other back and forth, just like expressing mad desire for Wolverhampton.
they're a really fun team. All right, Brandon. So let's quickly talk about the two things, actually. One is I want to say thank you to our newest patrons. We had a bunch since last week's podcast. So very quickly, thank you to Andrew Brumby, Sean Rothery, David Purcell, Johan Strom, Greg Capon, Phil Bauman, Brian Moss, Alex Rogers, Peter Harper, Irfan Nazir, and Martin Lindberg. Thank you to all of you. And then we had a couple of upgraded patrons as well. Jim Payne and Adam Benjamin, who are both new producer-level patrons, and Daniel Bloodworth, who is now a Poku patron. So thank you to all of you guys. And if you'd like to become part of the Patreon network or just support the podcast, you can still join all of our leagues. You also get access to our Slack where you can chat with other people. The Slack has been really – it's interesting because I know that there are a lot of different places to chat about strategy. I think ours is a little different than others because – I think it's got to be the funniest Slack. It is like a really, in terms of like nerdy fantasy Slacks, I think ours has got to be the funniest because it's just like, it's very like, it's serious, but it's like everyone is very like, very willing to make fun of themselves and also make fun of us, which I appreciate. I like being made fun
yeah,
of. I've never minded being made fun of.
Excellent. Yes. Also, shout out to all the foot golf talk on the Slack. So there we go. And let's run through the top 10 of the Always Cheating Super League, the League of Leagues. It's free to join. Go to alwayscheating.com, click the league tab, or the code is everywhere, including the show notes here. But we're verging on 4,000 managers there in that league. Join anytime. Top 10, just looking at the Super League results, what a massive game week one. You have to go down close to 175 managers before you get people who are getting sub 100 game weeks. Just incredible scores.
It was a game week to remember. It's a genuinely memorable, interesting game week to start the season.
All right, so the Super League top 10, we've got a four-way tie for 10th with Magna Rising, Andre McKinnon, Hunter McNally, and Peter Locke. Ninth place, it's Martin Doherty. And we have a four-way tie for 5th, Timothy Wright, Tejas Sechadeva, apologies for the pronunciation, guys, Roland Cook, and Aravind Vasudevan, also in 5th place. In 4th place, it's Fonyar Czar Soskati. Perhaps that's a joke in there somewhere, and I'm not picking up on it. 3rd place, Jason Gorman. 2nd place, Salvador Gonzalez. And in 1st place, with 126 points on the game week, Mark McCaffey. He played his bench boost and had Wan-Bissaka on the bench, Ruben Neves with 12 points, and Jimenez in 6, and Patricio also on the bench with 2. So we were talking about this before we started recording, Josh. Total punt to play your bench boost in game week one. But if you play your bench boost at any point in the season and you finish on, 32 points on the bench, that's a huge success. So
yeah, you would take that anytime.
Yeah. So Mark's got his bench boost done, dusted, out of the way, points in the bank. Well done to you, sir.
Yeah, and just a quick shout out to the top 6 in our Patreon league. I wanted to do a quick shout out to our 100 pointers. That's Vinyl Richie, Richard Nyquist in 6th, Guy Politis in 5th, Johan Strom in 4th, Millar Rowe in 3rd, Rick Cito in 2nd. Rick Cito just joined our personal mini league this year, and he feels like a total ringer now because he's like 20 points ahead of everybody with his 107 points. And Roland Cook in 1st. Congratulations to all of you.
Congrats, guys.
Brandon, let's take a break. Let's get back. Let's talk about 10 things we think after game week one. And that is a nod to Peter King, the I was going to say late great. He's actually still alive, but I don't think he writes this column anymore. There used to be this column for Sports Illustrated called 10 Things I Think that was about a Monday morning quarterback thing for the NFL. And I used to always love that column. So we are just straight up stealing that column idea, Brandon.
Stealing content, just like the best brands out there. Cool. We'll be right back.
All right, Brandon, we're back. 10 things we think after game week one. The first one is nobody got rested.
Nobody.
I don't know. All this talk about the World Cup and rest, and we weren't going to see Hazard or Harry Kane or Raheem Sterling. Game week 3 at the earliest. There was no way we were seeing these guys until
get then. A nice head start going.
Now I know that in the last week or so, they have been playing some minutes here and there, and getting some like bench time. Some of them have. I mean, Raheem Sterling, I don't think he played a single minute in the preseason with Man City.
There was an interview with the state U.S. broadcasting team with Raheem after that Arsenal match. They asked him how it was coming back from the World Cup and how much training he'd actually done. And he said he'd done, I think, about 6 days worth of training. And he was actually meant to take 3 weeks off and ended up only taking, I think, 5 days vacation.
Wow.
Before he was like, it's sort of like when the soldier gets taken off the front line, they're like, you know what? I need to be back with my guys.
Yeah. Well, also they bought the team is just like Bernardo Silva's playing better. They bought Riyad Mahrez. I mean, I guess there's a lot of competition for starting spots there, right? And so it's like, don't let anybody steal your – don't get Wally pipped.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a 100-year-old baseball reference for you there.
AL asks a question. How do you both feel about the ownership of all the World Cup players that were supposed to be arrested, such as Kane, etc.? Kane is a guy who definitely should have been arrested because he looked like trash to me. He's obviously a legend.
He always does to start the season anyway, right?
Yeah, that's true. But,
yeah.
Never scored in August.
I mean, the annoying one to me was N'Golo Kanté. I mean, not that I was going to have my team anyway, but, you know, every year he's got this, you know, insanely high ownership. I mean, what is he at right now? He's at, he's at 21% ownership, right? Because he's cheap and, you know, but I mean, you know, for him to pick up a goal after winning the World Cup, he was like the last player I thought was going to play in game week one, right? So that one was kind of like, I mean, whatever. It doesn't, you know, it was just like, it was kind of an annoying.
Well, it's probably just going to screw up a bunch of novice managers, right? Like people are going to say, oh, Kanté, he's just an incredible player of the season, won the World Cup, so on and so forth. I'm going to bring him in. He's also really cheap, scored a goal. Right. We all seasoned managers know he will not do that again. I mean, maybe he'll score one more goal the rest of the season if we're lucky.
The one thing I will say is that there has been some talk that with Jorginho in the squad, it will free Kanté up to move forward a little bit more. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to turn into, you know, Willian or something, but like I think we might see him in more advanced positions now. I mean, I don't recommend bringing him into your squad, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him do a little bit better this season from an attacking perspective.
Advanced positions they may be, but Kanté is not a gifted shooter of the ball. I mean, Paul Pogba is better at shooting than Kanté is. So I take your point.
Take that back.
Jorginho, though, let's just spare a quick moment for him, also priced at 5.0 on pens. He could be a Milivojevic level player for some teams, right?
It's the classic game week one thing where two deep line playmakers, you know, borderline defensive midfielders, Jorginho even more so, right? Like, pick up points and the bandwagon starts. You don't want Jorginho in your team.
I guess the smart person would observe Hazard still clearly on penalties if he's on the pitch. So Jorginho is not really in your mind for that.
Pedro, I think, is interesting. I mean, you know, 6.5 million, picks up a goal. I mean, the thing about Sarri, the thing that I think a lot of people, at least I'm excited about, is that he doesn't, he has a reputation for not rotating. Like, actually, in some ways, it's a complaint about him is that he doesn't rotate enough. But this is, you know, music to the ears of fantasy managers, right? I mean, you know, we all love a manager who, like that season when Mourinho won the championship with Chelsea 4 years ago, whatever it was. And, you know, I think it was three players played every minute of that season. I think it was it Hazard, Ivanovic, and
John Terry, perhaps.
Yeah. So, I mean, those three played every minute of the season. I mean, it's like the dream. I mean, it feels like it's never going to happen again, you know?
Yeah, maybe it was Cesar Azpilicueta. Who knows? So how are we feeling about Harry Kane? We thought we wouldn't have to think about this guy who's at 12.5, just a ridiculous price. His ownership is above 30%, despite all the rumors of him not starting. And there he is starting. Right. How quickly... So the logic preseason was, well, we'll get around to it when we play our wild cards. Does the fact that he's already starting give you any pause? Are you concerned?
Well, I mean, to bring him in, I'd have to burn four, which I'm not going to do. You know, I mean, I'd have to drop Sergio Aguero at home to Huddersfield, which I'm not going to do. If I had Aubameyang, I don't think I'd do it. You know, I mean, I certainly wouldn't burn four. I guess if you just kept enough money in your bank to make the Kane move, then sure, you know, I think you could do it. But I mean, yeah, the situation is that they're away to Man United in game week three. I mean, that's not a good fixture for him.
Yeah, so, I think people are going to eye up that Fulham match in game week two and say Fulham's defense is in complete disarray coming into the league. They'll target, some managers will target that as a possible more than one goal game for Kane.
It seems improbable that he would continue to never score in August.
Like, yeah, it will happen at some point, right?
You would think so, but he didn't look close to scoring in this game. I mean, he looked like he could barely string a pass together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's being a little too harsh maybe, but like he did not look like he was ready to be on the pitch.
The biggest one for me, World Cup wise, is Sterling. We already touched upon him, but him coming back and starting, he's the one that I would want to have the most at this point, yeah. even above De Bruyne, yeah. who came on as a substitute. Yeah. He's the one I'd want the most, but it is that 11 million price tag, and that's major surgery.
It's eye-watering. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. And my only hope as a probably non-Sterling owner for the unforeseeable future is that Pep's tinkers around with some midfield rotation. I mean, Leroy Sané on the bench for a majority of the game, a bit of that poor Sané, like what a bad run for him. Just can't get a break in terms of respect from his managers. But
yeah, I mean, the same thing happened at the start of last season. Remember, I don't know if he doesn't like train hard enough in the offseason. Remember last season, you know, he came off the bench too. The first couple of game weeks, it wasn't really until Benjamin Mendy got injured that he finally sort of really became, you know, a full-time starter in that
team.
Yeah,
that's interesting. See, he didn't really put his best foot forward in the charity shield either, so that might be an issue.
Part
and Pep had some things to say, particularly saying Bernardo Silva is the only player in the squad who came to play at the charity shield, so that could be something to do with it.
Yeah, so that's Eric Freeman's question about are there any players out there that you would rearrange your current team to bring them in? I do think that Sterling is the one is tempting, but that's some serious rearranging, you know. Yeah. I mean, it just sort of depends on when you play your wild card. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of talk about playing your wild card early, and you know, if you just feel like fundamentally your team is just like a short term team, then I think even if you're doing great, I think it's very reasonable to play your wild card. There was a FPL Fly on Twitter had a post earlier today about how he had, I think it was like 5,000 in the world or something after game week one, but he knew that his team was not built for the long term. But his score was so good that he kind of waited it out for 4 weeks. And by the time he finally played his wild card, he was all the way down to 178,000 in the world.
Yeah.
Which is still good, but you know, when you started at 5,000. I kind of had like a similar thing happened to me last year where I just didn't feel like I was ready to, my team was not strong enough for the fixtures ahead. And
yeah.
I don't feel that way about this team right now. I actually feel like it is built pretty strongly, but regardless, people like Kane and Sterling, I don't see myself bringing them in until game week four. I kind of like my team for the next 2 weeks. And then come game week four, I might reconsider. Maybe in game week three, actually, when Arsenal's fixtures get better.
So this is a good segue into a sidebar on early season transfers. Hannah asks, should we make early transfers at the start of the season? Prices tend to fluctuate wildly at the beginning, so it can be a good opportunity to build team values. Already we see bandwagons forming. FPL Statistics has Neves, Wan-Bissaka, Shaw, Pogba, Richarlison, Mendy all due to rise tonight. Mendy is right on the bubble there.
Here's a question for you, Brandon.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the highest scoring players for this game week. One thing that we talked about in last week's podcast, you know, the managers who've won the league the last few years, you know, a lot of them did wildcard very early. And, you know, part of the idea is that you need to get on these players fast because once their price rises come, it can be very hard to bring them in, or it requires you to ultimately drop players you want to keep because you don't have the money to do a straight swap, you know, things like that. Or you can't, you know, you have to transfer three players instead of two just because you can't quite make the funds work. So just looking at like some of the top scoring players, I mean, Wan-Bissaka to me is a bandwagon that I would want to get on right away, right? Like I think it would be totally reasonable to take one of your 4.5 or 4 million defenders and transfer him in for Wan-Bissaka right now.
Yeah. And I'd put it this way in that Wan-Bissaka is almost a safe early season transfer because you know he will gain in value. We're almost certain that he will start basically the entire season if everything goes according to plan. So he's not a risk. So it's great value, low money. You'll earn team value. If you're looking at attacking players, there are bandwagons there that are probably less sustainable, more punty. I mean, Richarlison, I do think, is a great player to have. But the bandwagon that's forming around Richarlison right now, I think FPL Stag made this point on his Twitter feed of Richarlison had two shots on goal and scored two goals. What we know of Richarlison from last season was he was an exciting attacking player, but his form really dipped and he doesn't have the best finishing yet. He's still a young guy.
But three of their next four fixtures are at home. And, you know, I think what's tempting about him is that he's so cheap. I mean, you know, you don't have to destroy your team to bring in someone like him.
I guess my point is not necessarily about Richarlison, but my point is a lot of the attacking bandwagons are going to be based on fluky data.
Right. All right. I mean, here's the biggest one. Ruben Neves.
Yeah, so we both talked about this as Jota owners. We're sitting on a guy who, yeah, he got an assist, but he's 6.5 versus Ruben Neves, who is 5.0. What an incredible game he had. So he's a deeper lying midfielder. He wasn't like their flair attacker like Jota was in the championship last season. But Neves was involved in nearly everything that Wolves did against Everton. He was on all the set pieces, took that beautiful free kick. I am like of all the bandwagons, that's the one that I'm backing.
Well, it's tempting to drop Jota for Neves because that 1.5 million is basically the 1.5 million you need to go from Kane or Aubameyang to go from Aubameyang or Aguero to Kane.
Yeah.
So if you view it through that specific lens, I think it's tempting. I think if you look at it more objectively, I think it was raining pretty hard in that match, and I really wonder if the rain was just changed that game a little bit, you know, and it didn't really give them it kind of gave Everton a chance to you know, it was easier to, like, the rain was almost like the 11th player for them, you know.
Yeah.
Just slowed the whole game down.
Yeah, I guess I'm not advocating that both of us immediately drop Jota, because, like, we have to practice what we preach to a degree and exercise patience here. And Wolves fans on Reddit were all saying, well, Jota just had a bad game.
It wasn't even that bad,
just in terms of what they were used to seeing last season. And he walked away with an assist. And I feel like you've got to be happy seeing Wolves being that attacking. As you were saying earlier, they're going to produce a lot of goals in the near future. And you would expect Jota to be more involved than he was against Everton.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm definitely not going to drop Jota away before this away match to Leicester. I would be surprised if Wolves didn't score in that game.
Yeah, right. Okay, so the next point we want to talk about is this might be the year of the defender. I see you've already submitted for a trademark on that. Yeah,
that's right. Patent pending.
That's amazing. So, yeah, had I played five at the back, I would have ended on, I would have still been sub 100, but my defense just hit it out of the park, to mix my sports metaphors. I was somewhat skeptical in preseason that this truly would be a year to really stack up on premium defense. And we just have 1 week's worth of data. So what can we take away from that? I mean, I feel like I kind of got away with it. Not diversifying a lot. So I'm just with Palace, Liverpool, and City defenders for what it's worth. You've diversified a bit more. You have Spurs and Manchester United, two historically fantastic defensive teams.
It's interesting because I really did make an effort to put quite a lot of money into my defense this year. I would say the results are somewhat mixed. I mean, they're mostly positive because I did get the 15 from Mendy and the 7 from Allison. It feels more mixed because I didn't get the 12 or the 11 from Robertson, or, you know, I didn't bring Patrick Van Aanholt. You know, like, there are players that, you know, I don't know. It's like, this is how it is after game week one every season, right? There's like every player who does well was in your team at one point, you know? I think that I'm going to stay. I mean, the thing about bringing in premium defenders is you don't bring them in for one game. Like, they're not punts. They're players that, you know, this is the reason why, you know, Azpilicueta finishes like the top three defender rankings every single year, right? Because he is an incredible defender, you know, stays healthy, plays every match. Gets just enough attacking returns, gets tons of defensive bonus points. I mean, I guess we'll see what he's like in Sari's system, but you know, you just buy a player like Azpilicueta and you just keep them in your squad all year. And, you know, I hope that Bailly can be that player. You know, I mean, you know, I think Mendy and Davis are a little riskier, I think. I mean, Mendy, you know, if we get 30 starts out of Mendy this year, that'll be like a miracle, right? Uh-huh. Not just because the injury, but just because Pep, you know, rotates so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, Davis, we'll see where Danny Rose is. You know, I mean, I don't know that. I don't know if Danny Rose is kind of still in the doghouse a little bit or if he starts pushing for a start. I don't see him starting, you know, anytime super soon, though.
No, I don't either. The way I'm looking at my defense right now is effectively an investment. And I felt going into game week one, there were more knowns with defenses in Liverpool and City. And I had some unanswered questions with attackers. So since I'm doubled up with City and Liverpool and Palace, I can start to move them around once it becomes clearer to me where I want to go with different midfielders, maybe strikers. So I'm just sort of keeping my money in the strong box of Virgil van Dijk right now. And maybe maybe he gets downgraded when I'm ready to spend in an attacker.
Uppercut Panda says, is this the year of five at the back? Could you do it? Do you think you could roll out? I mean, you rolled out four this week and, you know, you should have rolled out five.
No, I don't think I ever will. I just can't. I can't see it unless it's a blank game week situation by necessity. So it's no fun. It's no fun. And I mean, I definitely got away with murder getting So a goalkeeper and four defenders and I'm five out of five clean sheets like that. Will I be able to replicate that again this season? It's such a tightrope, man.
It's hard to believe. I mean, Liverpool are away to Palace. I mean, you probably expect Palace to score a goal in that game. And I mean, City, you probably would expect a clean sheet there. I mean, home to Huddersfield, they'd be shocked if Huddersfield scored in that game. I mean, the thing is, you got through the Arsenal match with your double City, you know, and now you're looking good for a while. I think. I mean, even away to Wolves in game week three. I think the bigger risk there is the rotation and maybe Ederson's child.
Yeah, the child of Ederson. Well, Alex says, with so many premium forwards blanking, is it clearer than ever to invest heavily in the defense and midfield? So it's just one game week worth of data, Alex. I was thinking about this in some grand poetic terms before the podcast of like, we don't know what we're going to know at the end of the season. So to say that you know what the whole season is going to be after game week one, can't say it. So and you look back at seasons past and we'll revert to the mean in terms of defense at some point.
Well, and just, I mean, you know, Kane is home to Fulham, Aguero is home to Huddersfield in game week two. I mean, if they both get hat tricks, then, you know, I mean, the questions will be, is it the year to invest heavily in a premium forward? You know, I'm not saying that Alex is like being totally knee jerk here, but just, you know, the sort of the conversation can shift very quickly, you know, depending on how any particular game week goes. So I think I agree with you basically, which is that it's too early to say. I mean, I will say if I'd known that Sterling was going to play starting in game week one, I might have gone for five through the middle. I just didn't think he was going to play, you know. For him to start and play 80 plus minutes and score a goal. I mean, it was all very surprising. I mean, and honestly, he had the assist for the second goal. I mean, he was super crucial to that team, proved his value immediately, you know? So, you know, and then KDB came on too, and, he didn't look great. But I'm sure he'll be fine in a couple weeks.
Sure. I mean, the biggest question for me with Man City is how is the priority to win the Champions League this season? And not that you can just, it's like your boss saying, here, make this video go viral on the internet. It's not as easy as waving a magic wand and making it happen. But I do wonder if we'll see even more rotation in the Premier League as they really drive for the Champions League final.
And I guess we'll see in a few weeks when the Champions League
starts
up. So, The third thing that we think, this one I would say is closer to we now know for sure, which is to go heavy on Liverpool. Byron Bruce says, having just watched Liverpool rip apart West Ham, and with Sané posting a brilliant return with Salah ever threatening, is there a case for allocating over 20% of your budget to a double Liverpool midfield? I think there's a strong case for it.
Yeah, I don't think we have to analyze this too much. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you've got Ozil at 8.5 million. Are you already thinking about trying to find a way to bring in Sadio Mane?
Because I'm already...
He said, by the way, he said Sané, he meant Mane. He made the Sané Mane mistake that I make all the time.
funny that is. I'm already tripled up on Liverpool with Van Dijk and Robertson behind Salah, so I can't. And also, I was encouraged by the, as you were, Arsenal's attack at the tail end when Lacazette came on for Arsenal. Yeah. Ozil looked like he will be around in the box trying to score goals. So I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to persist. So Van Dijk and Robertson, it took Robertson getting an assist, both of them getting a clean sheet to match Sadio Mane's points, full stop. So I'm covering Mane with two players. And I think that tells you everything you need to know. And that I think the upside with Mane is so much higher as compared to Liverpool's defense right now, as strong as they look. So I'm happy with my team layout as it is, but if you're starting from scratch, I'd say go for an attacking double up, be it Mane or Firmino.
Yeah, I had a moment on Thursday night where I was working on my team and I was debating between Mane and Sanchez. And I just thought, well, what am I'm overthinking this because Mane does everything that Sanchez does and he's a million cheaper. And, you know, it was like it was only that Leicester game, it was that Leicester home match that was throwing me off a little bit. But I think we saw it. I mean, you know, Mane is... You know, I mean, the way that Mane, Firmino and Salah play, I mean, they're all right there at the center of the attack, you know, and they're all there was this line that Klopp said after the game was over. Dave from Burnley was like, you got to bring this up in the podcast. But he said to me, like, you know, rotation is the way of the future in the Premier League. And it was this sort of ominous line.
Jeez, that's dark, man.
yeah, but it's obviously true. I mean, you know, given all the European commitments to the top clubs, I mean, that we already see it with Man City, you know, so,
yeah.
But you know, it doesn't scare me off, you know, Mane for that. That's for sure. I mean, and him coming off in the 80th minute, I mean, that was great too. Right. I mean, a little extra time here and there. It's like, I'll save it for the next game.
Sometimes rotation too. I think we saw this a lot with Klopp last season is rotation for him is giving his big attacking players 65 minutes and then bringing them off. Depending on what tactics are needed, but basically just lessening their game time, but still giving them starts.
Yeah. Even like when they come off the bench, though, they can score too. I mean, we've seen it with Salah in particular, you know. So Adam Benjamin, producer, says, would it be knee jerk to swap Firmino to Mane after next week if Mane proves his worth again?
I mean, two game weeks worth of information, it's less of a knee jerk.
I don't know. I mean, Firmino, we know what Firmino is, though. I mean, Firmino is going to be he already picked up an assist today. I mean, Firmino is going to be in the points plenty of times this season.
I
think it's a little knee jerk still.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we should spare a moment for Naby Keita. FPL Wallpass says Keita just good for real life football or good for fantasy too. Keita got forward a bit, but as we're talking about Firmino, Mane, Salah, and all the great defensive assets at Liverpool, I'm failing to see. It's sort of the Lallana syndrome back when Lallana was fit and healthy and part of the attack is he was a cheap way into the Liverpool offense, but you were never going to get the same level of points as you were from the other attackers.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he had that like half a season Lallana did, but yeah, I do agree. All right. Our fourth thing we think is also in addition to Liverpool, let's also go heavy on Manchester City.
Right? Oh, you don't say. We're really going out on a limb on this podcast.
We're not trying to like blow your heads back here. We're just confirming things that you should be thinking about yourself. And if you're not tripled up on Man City, you should definitely start to think about it.
Yeah, I think we answered some of these questions, but real quick, Nav says, will Sterling ever be an option considering his price? I think both you and I agree, Josh, that we'd love him to be, but at this point, it's going to require some surgery. So wild card, is it going to morph into a Sterling wild card as opposed to a Kane wild card in 4 or 5 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever you're planning?
Right. Well, possibly. I mean, he's a great player. He probably is worth that price, to be totally honest. I mean, maybe the goal today is just, I don't know. It's either swaying me or confirming an opinion I already have, but I didn't really balk at that price. I mean, you know, based on his returns last year, it's a reasonable price. It's just, you know, again, I mean, you know, when Nav also says, are we not assessing it clearly because he was so cheap last year? I mean, honestly, it's hard for me to see Sterling through the spectrum of how cheap he was 3 or 4 years ago. You know, I still see him as a 4.5 million option on Liverpool. You know, I mean, it's like, The arc from 4.5 million player to 11 million Manchester City starter is
so Odissean.
Does that mean he's going to go all the way back? Yeah. He's going to return to 4.5.
Yeah, he's going
to by the time it's over.
that's what I see. That's what I predict. Sort of what Wayne Rooney was doing by the time he made it back to Everton.
That was definitely Odissean.
All right. Anyone says, question, do I downgrade Sanchez now for a Man City mid? I had Bernardo Silva already, or wait a week to downgrade to Mane in week 3? So here
is like a supplemental question.
What possessed me to get Sanchez in the first place? Okay, so first we can talk about Sanchez. Second is we talk about patience. Is patience required with Alexis Sanchez, or is this one of those situations in I mean, I believe what I saw in that United Leicester game, and that Sanchez is the same displaced person that he was when he arrived at Old Trafford last season. He doesn't know where he is, who he's playing for, or why he's there.
I'm just jumping in here, Brandon, because I am reordering the podcast on the fly. I'm moving one of the things we think up because it's so relevant right now. And let's jump right into point number 5, Brandon, because we talked about Man City a lot already. Alexis Sanchez, probably not worth the money.
Yeah. So I guess taking what I've said, I do agree. Byron James asks, is Alexis over now? He's way too high at 10.5, looked overweight and slow, has scored 3 goals in 19 for United. And that's before you even start on what a dysfunctional team it is generally. Who's fatter, Josh, Luke Shaw, or Alexis Sanchez?
I don't think I've ever heard Alexis Sanchez described as overweight before.
Yeah, dude, when that guy takes his shirt off, he's like Bruce Lee.
He doesn't have a great haircut right now.
He has a very workman-like haircut, but he is a bedhead legend. I feel like when he was at Arsenal, always looked like he rolled out of bed.
Can a bad haircut make you look fat? It's possible, right?
Well, haircuts can your family leaves you, you lose your job, you're on the street, basically.
Yeah, I mean, Sanchez is just too expensive. You know, we saw it there was a moment, you know, 5 minutes into the Man United game where, you know, he wins the penalty, tries to take it off Pogba. And I don't know if he was sulking because Pogba would let him. That was just a stupid, give me a break, guys. Like, figure that out before the match starts.
What a hilarious sight, too, because Pogba is at least a foot taller than Alexis. And Pogba was also just like, World Cup, dog. Check it out.
Yeah. And then it was like Alexis was just done. You know, it was like, I think the goals in the second minute, he's like, okay, I'm done. I'm checked out. He was still running all over the place, but it was kind of, sometimes I feel like his running is like, I've really turned on Alexis. I used to love Alexis. Sure. And now I just find him annoying.
FPL legend back in the day.
Totally. Super fun player. So positive back in the day.
Peter Alexi and Peter Gray are already asking, like, should we just dump this guy now? Peter says, I didn't like Sanchez's display, but I'm willing to give him one more week. Would you? And
I would. I mean, a way to Brighton. I mean, come on. Like, Brighton's bad. I know they made like a bunch of buys this offseason, but I mean, Alexis could absolutely score a goal in that game. I would, if he doesn't do anything in the Brighton match, then yes, definitely cup A, but I think it's too early to, I don't know. I mean, this is like the kind of situation that comes up a lot on the podcast. You know, it's like, this talented player doesn't perform. Do I bring another talented player who's kind of at the same level as this player, but might, you know, it's just like, it's hard to judge, you know, but I do think that I would just hold with Sanchez if I had him.
We preach patience, and I think that's good. And I think for the most part, it's just one game week, patience, stick with your key players. But in this case with Alexis Sanchez, I don't think it's like a talented player has 1 week off. This is a continuation of what we saw last season.
Right.
So I don't know that Peter has a lot of reason to keep the faith. And if we're talking about guys like Sadio Mane, who are going to probably produce in this really flair attack that Manchester United doesn't have right now. If you have no other business to do in your FPL side ahead of game week two, I wouldn't say no. But in this particular case,
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. To me, it's too knee jerk to move him already. I mean, I think everything we said can still be true, and I would still hold off for one more week because I do like that Brighton fixture a lot for him.
All right, fair enough. Let's take a quick break, Josh.
Yeah, let's take a break. Have some water.
Water.
Hydrate.
Josh, let's take a minute and talk about our friends at Starting 11. Does FPL have you stressed out, Josh? We spent so much of the preseason planning for the long term. Game week one, either it worked out or it didn't. You need to step away from that FPL game and do something that's fun, that's quick, and that is also for cash prizes. Starting 11 is an app that's available for your iPhone and your Android. You can play cash games live in the UK, the US, Canada, and Germany for iOS. And we have free and cash games available everywhere soon for your Android phone. Starting 11, again, it's daily fantasy for cash prizes. You can play this any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches happening. And when you set up your team for those matches that are happening on that day, you have no budget limitations. You can adjust your lineup right up to kickoff. So when you see those team sheets for the first matches of the day, you can adjust as needed. And you have three live in-game substitutions that you can make right on the Starting 11 app. So as you're seeing how players are performing, what substitutions happen, you yourself can be the manager within the Starting 11 app and adjust your team on the fly. And a big feature coming up for Starting 11, mini leagues. So you and your friends can set up an ongoing competition to keep tabs on who's good at Starting 11 and who needs to catch up.
One thing I'll add here, Brendan, just, you know, the way that the game works, you know, you can only, and this threw me off the, you know, when now we've both probably played, I think I played well over, you know, 100 Starting 11 contests, you know, last season. You know, you can only play with the players that play that particular day. But in some ways that really opens you up, and it actually, I think it changes your perspective on matches a little bit, because you kind of, you just have players that you don't even really, you wouldn't normally consider for your fantasy team, you know, and it sort of, it just changes the way that you look at matches and the kind of like, the way that you see value.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a really important thing too. And, it is, it's just kind of nice to break your perspective a little bit. And, also you can play for cash. So I like,
don't forget that part of it too. All right. If you want more information on Starting 11, visit their website, starting11.io, or visit your favorite app store to download, check it out, and stay tuned. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have an interview with Starting 11 co-founder Thomas Braun.
Starting11.io. Check it out. All right, Brandon, we got five more points to go. A couple of these are pretty short too, so let's get to one of the bigger ones though. And we've talked about this a little bit already, but the sixth point is that there are valuable cheap midfielders to be had. FPL King says Neves, Jorginho, Madison, our fourth president, Perea, Kennedy. Am I going to stop with the James Madison jokes at some point? I probably should.
What about
it's not funny.
What about the John F. Kennedy jokes? Now we move on to the JFK jokes.
JFK. Got two presidents in this list. Just a few who I've enjoyed watching this week and stood out and attractively priced at 5 to 6 million. Let's say 5 to 6.5 million. Could this be the recipe for an elite strike force with big guns like Kane, Aguero, Aubameyang? Now, that's interesting because I feel like a lot of people have looked at the cheaper midfield as a way to fund a more expensive defense. So, I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think this season we had a great lineup of potential mid-priced mids, low to mid-priced mids. A lot of us favored Diogo Jota. Richarlison is a favorite if we go up to 6.5. I like them a lot. And if you cast your mind back to when we were just learning about the existence of Riyad Mahrez, he was among this group. So there will be these guys that do emerge, and we will need them. We'll absolutely need them to bring in the big guns up front. Also, I wouldn't diminish investing this strategy to help you invest in the defense as well.
Yeah, and it's just a perspective thing sometimes. I mean, you brought up Mahrez a minute ago. I mean, you know, Mahrez is $9 million this year. I think it was even more a season ago, maybe two seasons ago. I mean, you know, this year's $5 million midfielder is next year's $8.5 million midfielder. You know, and sometimes you just have to remember that. I mean, James Maddison is one who really played very well in the Manchester United game, has pretty good fixtures now that match is over. You know, he's a player that I'm definitely going to keep an eye on. And, you know, Jota to Maddison at some point could be a move that I definitely consider
making. Yeah, I thought Maddison did look impressive. His delivery during that Manchester United match was really excellent. So I expect we'll see more from him. The way I'm thinking about it is with Jota and Richarlison at 6.5, I do, like, the higher you go in this bracket, I think the more flexibility you'll have down the road. Like, if you bring in Neves on a knee jerk and start building around him and don't have any money left in the bank, and then suddenly somebody at 6.5 pops off, it's not going to be easy to move Neves up. So I think starting from that higher position is going to make you a little more flexible in the coming weeks when we start to get more information on who the quasi Mahrez is going to be.
FPL Crate Digger, I like that. That's not a bad, that's like a new FPL name. Best 5 million midfielder after game week one, Conte, Neves, Jorginho. He throws Kennedy in there, which I like.
Yeah, I'm a Kennedy fan. I just don't know that I'm a new
Kennedy fan too. Great MTV VJ, but
not as good as Duff.
No, definitely no. Dave Holmes.
Yeah, I mean, Neves is the one that jumps out to me from this list. Conte has discussed, also Jorginho, kind of thinking game week one is a fluke or that. Look at how far these guys play forward. Tom Carney, Fulham were a bit of a basket case over the weekend, but Carney was at least playing through the middle a bit. He had, if not the most passes completed, during the game week, let's see who had the most passes completed. Well, Carney and Surrey, both for Fulham, had the most touches in the opponent's half, and so both of them looked really active. But Carney, great comparison there too. Carney farther forward than Surrey. So when you're looking at these guys, I mean, pull up the heat maps, look how far they go, how far up the field they are, how many touches they have in the box, and that's what I'm going to go by. Because ultimately what you're going to need is more consistent attacking, chances created, goals, and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Again, yeah, I mean, yeah, Neves, I think there's a word of caution there, but I do think from that list, I mean, he's the player just I mean, I didn't watch, you know, a ton of Wolves last season, so, I mean, you know, I don't want to suddenly be an expert on Ruben Neves, but from what we saw in this first match and, you know, the way that people talk about him, I mean, it seems like, I mean, it's not like, again, it's not like you're as a fourth midfielder at 5 million, he seems perfectly fine. Right. And maybe you can rotate him with a fifth player.
Yeah.
So I mean, we'll see how he plays. You know, they have a couple of difficult matches kind of, they play City and Man United in two of the next five. So, you know, I guess that'll be kind of the test, but, you know, one player just totally off topic, but Matt Doherty on Wolves looked fantastic.
Yeah. I made a note as well on him.
Yeah. Yeah. As a 4.5 million fullback, looked really dangerous and possibly kind of fixture proof in a way. I mean, obviously he didn't pick up any points, so I don't want to go too far with this, but it looks like he's capable of getting an assist in any match. So yeah, definitely impressed by Doherty.
How, if you're looking, your mid to low price, your fourth midfielder, how many weeks, right. Is it like one out of every 3 weeks? Are you looking to get attacking output from them? Every week, once every five. What's the measure?
I guess it depends on your setup. I mean, you know, for me, I have the cheapest. My fourth midfielder is 6.5 million. So I, right now, I'm hoping for more than that because I went with a sort of cheaper forward line. I've got Josh, the disappointing Josh King. We didn't even talk about King, Zaha, and Aguero up front. Yeah, for me, I guess it'd be more like one of, I don't know. I mean, at 6.5 million, I don't think you can expect attacking returns in every other match. I guess one out of three, but I guess you would hope to get more than an assist, right? You'd hope for maybe a goal in every three games or something like that.
Little Jason with a knee jerk, he asked, dump Mora, Lucas Mora already for Pereira on the basis that Spurs World Cup boys back much sooner than expected. So concern over Lucas Mora's playing time, also the fact that he didn't produce in game week one, and then there's Perea at Watford, who looked like a world beater, with hashtag Greek FPL, Holobos Twitter.
It was one of the greatest days in Holobos Twitter history.
Yeah,
that was just for like a couple hours, my life was all about Holobos Twitter. I went deep. Mm-hmm. I went into the Holobos Twitter dark web, and I'm sure we all did.
Sure, I bought some plutonium in the Holobos dark web.
Did you really? That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I bought a Bitcoin and Dogecoin in Holobos Twitter. I was all in, man. It was amazing.
Holodoge.
I mean, Perea, I've always loved Perea. Actually, both Pereas played well this weekend. Leicester's Perea played well, too. Perea in Watford is a fantastic player. You know, he comes from Juve, but he has never, ever been able to stay healthy. And that's always the risk with him. You know, I mean, if he had a season where he stayed healthy the whole time, then he'd be an amazing value. He might be already anyway. I mean, you know, I actually think a Mora to Perea move, given that Watford has some pretty good fixtures, is a move I would consider making if I were in that position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, Watford play... yeah, Burnley. Well, the fixtures do get a little worse in a couple of weeks, but they play Burnley and Palace their next two. So, you know, bring them in for the two fixtures, play a game week four wild card, see where you are. There's a scenario where that makes sense.
All right, gun to your head, Eric Nguyen asks, Perea or Jota? You don't have, you're starting from scratch. Don't take your team into
Jota.
Account.
Yeah. Jota. Yeah, Jota. Yeah, Jota.
Jota. Yoda.
Mike Mulcahy says, my biggest concern from game week one is Pascal Gross being subbed off in the 59th minute. It's just strange. And he says, what is happening in Brighton?
I feel like Gross he always was in danger of the 60 minute sub last season. And
more like 70, though, right? 59 minute. That was odd.
I don't know. He's like this guy that... who's the Brighton manager?
Chris Hughton.
I think Chris Hughton knows that he's going to have to play Pascal Gross in every single match to get any sort of creative spark out of his attack. And, you know, the sort of wrap him in cotton wool strategy.
You might be right, Brighton. I don't know. I mean, they were losing 2-0 to Watford. They were away. So maybe he just thought the game was just lost. And I'm agreeing with you 100%.
Okay, good. That was how I felt about the Arnie sub as well against Liverpool, where Pellegrini was like, you know what, let's save this guy for when a goal might actually help us.
If he was a little more accurate, he could have had a goal or possibly two in that match.
Yeah, missed a few opportunities. All right, seventh thing we think we have some genuine 4 million options. Rick Cito asks, can we trust Juan Bissaka as a fourth defender and get another 4.0 defender as our fifth defender in order to free up some more money? So basically, Rick is asking, can we treat Juan Bissaka like a 4.5 set and forget?
Yes, I think we talked about that. I think that's just that Listen, it could blow up in our faces, but we're going all in on the Wan-Bissaka bandwagon.
Yeah, I mean,
Sorry,
I was just going to say, worst case scenario, you have to dig up 0.5 just to get someone who starts on any old team. I don't think you're really putting yourself behind the eight ball.
My concerns with Peltier, however you say his name, and Bennett, Peltier is a defender on Cardiff and Bennett is a defender on Wolves, is I don't see either of them getting, I mean, Cardiff are awful. And I mean, Cardiff could be down by like February, you know, and
you saying the Warlock won't be casting his spells?
I mean, he started off the season with a zero pointer, right? And he got a yellow card and they conceded two goals. You're not going to get any points from him. So, I mean, it's fine if you're playing an early wild card or you just the way you feel like your team is so solid, you're never going to have to go into your bench, then okay, fine. But, you know, I don't like it's fine to bring him in, but you're not going to get points out of him more than 1 point every four matches or something is what you're going to get out of Peltier. And I kind of feel the same about Bennett.
All right, point number eight, things we think we might be underrating Chelsea's attacking assets. FPL Chancer asks, Chelsea midfielders, do we jump on early? Another shout for Conte. Chancer also throwing out Pedro, Willian, and Hazard, all price brackets covered. So are you impressed that Chelsea just hammered Huddersfield?
Well, I don't know if I'm impressed. I expected them to win that game. I don't think I expected it to be quite so easy. You know, I was just rewatching some highlights this afternoon, and I mean, it was kind of a balanced attack, right? I mean, and that was without Hazard for most of it. So, I mean, I know he picked up an assist late, but and we talked about Conte and Jorginho already, but you know, Pedro and Willian, I mean, 6.5 and 7.5, you know, in a team that we don't expect to be rotated that much and their fixtures are pretty good. I do think that there's maybe some, it would make sense to maybe move an underperforming 6.5 or 7.5 million player into that spot. Like if you just felt like Gylfi was not your guy, then Gylfi to Pedro or William would maybe make some sense.
It would make a lot of sense. Gylfi, poor Gylfi. That red card really screwed up a lot of people who were playing Everton and their FPL teams, man.
Yeah, that was tough.
Point number nine, it might take a while to sort out the forward bracket. Tommy asks, thoughts on Josh King, stick or twist? How are you feeling about your whole setup up front, Josh?
Well, if I had known that King wasn't on penalties, maybe he's on penalties now because Callum Wilson had such a terrible penalty. I don't know. It was pretty bad. There wasn't a lot of speed on it. It was not well placed. It was,
My issue is less with Callum Wilson's penalty, but just that how Eddie Howe has persisted with this total trash player that is Callum Wilson.
I know he did get a goal and an assist though. Crazy. You know, like Callum Wilson, I just what a weirdly good performance from a player who sucks.
he always has them in his up his sleeve. You know, a couple of hat tricks in the last couple of seasons, and then his leg falls off or something happens. And
I mean, the with Josh King, they play away to West Ham, home to Everton the next two. I'm going to use those to evaluate things. I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in either defense, the West Ham or the Everton defense. So I think he could do something. He was really on fire in the preseason. I mean, it's kind of why we all brought him in. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to move him yet, but it was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It was annoying. And now I have two guys that I'm trying to evaluate in my front line with Josh King and Arnautovic. The Liverpool game was not a fair representation of, I think, what I'm hoping to get out of Arnie this season.
Sure.
So I'm kind of like already a week in the hole with what I'm hoping to get out of him. So I need more info there. Agree with you on Josh King. Sergio Aguero with a blank. The scary thing is,
I missed a one-on-one.
I assume that was a goal. Actually, I assumed he was going to square that pass to KDB because it was such the obvious play, even though he's just like a bloodthirsty striker.
He's such a good finisher, though. I'm sure he thought. I mean, Cech actually had quite a good game.
I agree.
He had some weird moments. Almost had an own goal.
Yeah.
He makes like a gigantic howler in every match now. Like that's mm-hmm. just like that's the Peter Cech experience. But I mean, yeah, his shot stopping was great.
Yeah, he had that double save that was right at the post, just incredible. And yeah, good.
Good game.
The post match interview with him where they're like, yeah, so what was going on when you almost scored that own goal? And he just like matter of fact was like, you know, I had two things happening simultaneously in my brain and I couldn't decide which to do. And I just kicked it. And I'm like, you're one of the oldest, most experienced goalkeepers in one of the biggest leagues in the world. And you still have like multiple things going on in your brain at the same time. It's not just instinctive.
Without looking, Brandon, do you know who the top three scoring forwards were in game week one? Without looking, just the top of your head.
Oh, man, that's a good question. Did any forwards even score?
I will tell you, the overall top forward, this is not price dependent at all. Just
was it
total
Wilfred
score.
Zaha?
No, it was Callum Wilson with 8 points. Oh, he was the top scoring forward in all of FPL in game week one.
Throwing that one back in my face.
Second was Jamie Vardy, which is kind of hilarious. He's tied with Jimenez, Raul Jimenez, who picked up a pretty nice goal, good positioning on that goal.
Mm-hmm,
They were tied on 6 points. And then you've got, like, I think it's five different forwards with 5 points. It's Zaha, Tosin, Firmino, Sturridge, Joselu. Those are the other ones. And then everyone else is 2 points or less.
Well, there's your preferred front three going forward. It's got to be Vardy, Jimenez, and Callum Wilson.
Only set you back, what, 24.5 million? That's lots of money for the rest of your team.
Sure.
All right. Final thought here is that the bonus system is still a bit weird. I will extend that to include the assist system, Brandon. The Opta, they have apparently decided this year, which I am kind of fine with if it stays consistent, that if you meant for it to be an assist, you get an assist or something. I don't really like Alexis Sanchez getting an assist on a ball that hit two defenders is just one of those things, right? It's just that's not how the game used to be, but I guess now you get assist.
The game's
for that,
changed. So. The game's gone, Josh.
The game's changed. That was weird, and I don't know. Just like there were I feel like there are a couple plays where like the significant touches from defenders don't seem to stop people from assists anymore.
The Keane assist as well on that corner where I think the ball basically hit his arm or. I don't know. You went out to head it and it bounced off a bunch of the Wolves defenders too before it fell to Richarlison. And yeah, he gets. I assume that Baines was going to get the assist on that based on what you're saying about Alexis. Because Baines.
Right. But the Vardy. And then Perea getting the assist on the Vardy goal was weird too because didn't that ball go like kind of off the crossbar or something? Or did De Gea actually touch it before? It was just a weird. I know he intended for that to be a cross, so I guess that's why he got the assist. But it wasn't like – I felt like a lot of things happened before Vardy ultimately scored on that play. I don't know.
Yes.
Just weird. Yeah.
Read the bonus point system. I can encourage you enough to click on the Help tab on the Fantasy Premier League website, and it tells you how bonus points are allocated. So don't complain. don't ask how it happened. It's laid out pretty clearly.
Brandon hates when I complain about the bonus points. Okay, the assist system I'm saying is a little different. It's unique.
It was. I will say this. This would probably be a good point for us to end this. Things that we think is yes. This was a pretty clear illustration. This Liverpool West Ham game of why Mo Salah doesn't get bonus points. You could only think of one thing that Mo Salah did score a goal that wasn't him getting tackled by somebody, and I.
He gets dispossessed so much.
And that game was no exception. So think about that next time you complain about Salah not getting bonus points.
Yeah. All right, Brandon, we're going to skip the lightning round this week. We're going a little bit long here. So apologies to Anders Javi, Matt Seward, FPL Santa, and FPL Troll. You guys all had questions that we could have answered, but we won't. Brandon, let's go right into game week two. looks like we've got no Friday games this week. We've got a nice, tasty, pure watch for the early match. It's Cardiff, Newcastle. Like eight people in fantasy will have players in that game.
Finally get to watch the Warlock in action. I didn't watch the full game this weekend for Cardiff. So
yeah,
this will be my first exposure to Cardiff in the Premier League.
Yeah, I'm curious about Bobby Reid. I don't know. Maybe someone will play Peltier. I guess you could do that. This might be the one game you could do it. But I'm sort of looking forward to that one. Just Newcastle kind of need to win that game too. I mean, their fixtures are so tough to start the season.
Newcastle were of interest. I was interested in them watching that Spurs match. I thought that some of their players did look good.
I like the mid-table clashes that are taking place on Saturday. I got Everton, Southampton, Leicester, Wolves, West Ham, Bournemouth. Those are fun games.
Absolutely, yes. West Ham, Bournemouth will be a real fun one. Lots of FPL players in action there. And then, okay, prediction for Chelsea, Arsenal?
Sorry, it's so loud in the background. I think that Chelsea will win. They're coming to get me. I think Arsenal finally score a goal, however. I will predict a 2-1 Chelsea win.
It's going to be a draw. I think that's a 1-1 or 2-2 draw for me.
I'm thinking -1, -1 for me. I'm going.
I am very frightened about my Fulham playing at Wembley against Spurs. Though Fulham should own Wembley at this point.
Yeah.
Like, literally
that's
on
true.
It.
That's true. I mean, Spurs, it's hard to know how dominant Spurs will be in that game, though. I mean, I guess they came out firing in that Newcastle game. The second half was a little less exciting, though. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to.
Very unimpressed with Spurs showing against Newcastle. That looked very sluggish.
Yeah. I mean, they looked, it was a strong start, certainly, with the alley goal and. It's interesting Saturday, and then move on to Sunday. We've got Burnley, Watford, Man City, Huddersfield, which should be an incredibly one-sided affair.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the score is in that game? 5-0? Does that seem right to you?
Yeah, it's particularly it being the first home match for City at the season of the season. They performed so well at the Etihad.
Is 5-0 too low? 6-0?
No,
7-0. I'm not. 8-0 is as high as I will go, Brandon. That is this,
it's like Everton
limit.
Preseason to a 22-0.
22-0.
I mean, the big question, the elephant in the room here is, are you considering Sergio Aguero as a captain? If somebody were to guarantee you that Sergio Aguero starts this match, my bus team has the armband on Aguero.
No, I'm still going with Salah. I mean, I guess I would actually consider Mane now, but it would be one of the Liverpool players. I'm an ardent believer in the Liverpool attack right now. And I mean, I feel the same way about Man City too, but I guess, Pep will not come out and say that Aguero is starting. So that's what gives me pause. You could see Jesus starting that game.
Who knows? Yeah. I'm not going to predict. Yeah, I just don't know what to say about that Liverpool away to Crystal Palace. I don't know, Crystal Palace is a strong team, man.
I know. You know. Side note that no one will care about, but me, I guess. I will be coming back from DC at that time. I'm going to be on the Acela quiet car for this entire match. Just it's amazing. I have a meeting in DC that day, so it's like 2 hours on a speeding train watching Liverpool Crystal Palace. I am so excited. I don't know if you like train travel as much as I do. I really love it, though.
Train travel is amazing. However, you can't do FPL in the quiet car. That's not allowed. It's too raucous.
Because I'll be cheering too much? No, I just have it on my iPad and, plugged in with the headphone. I'm not going to, watch with the sound on,
No, you're going to be throwing F-bombs at the little old lady sitting in front of you. It's not going
to
be cool.
Maybe I'll go to the bar car. Damn it. I love the quiet car.
Okay, so we're kind of at odds here with the armband, but we will be available on the social medias on our Patreon Slack for further captaincy discussion. I expect that's going to be the big debate heading into Game Week 2.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that is a case we made for Raheem Sterling in that Huddersfield match too. Possibly De Bruyne. De Bruyne's probably going to earn a start. I mean, if De Bruyne's ownership is crazy high, by the way.
What about Benjamin Mendy?
God, wouldn't that be something? I mean, it wouldn't be ridiculous. I mean, I can't imagine Huddersfield score, and he's playing like a forward. I mean, yeah, Ben Mendy would not be a ridiculous play. That's all I'll say.
Cool. Let's leave it at that. It's time to sign off, Josh.
Quick 25-minute podcast this week. I like it very tight this week.
It's in the can. All right, so become a Patreon supporter of Always Cheating. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating for more information on how you can support the pod and all the stuff that we can give you in return. Quick thank you to our producers, as always, Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carlos Rasmus, Lean Granley, Chris Howell, Rafi Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, and Adam Benjamin. Josh, where else can people find info on Always Cheating?
They can find us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. That's H-A-I-L Cheaters. You can follow us on Facebook. We're facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can email us hailcheaters@gmail.com. You can visit the website www.alwayscheating.com. I probably didn't need to say the www because it is 2018 and most people know how to use the search bar now.
Yeah, the http://. Or is it /?
Yeah, you can also you can subscribe to the podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Pocket Cast. Give us a 5-star review, and you know, the other thing is just tell your friends. You know, I know some people feel like they don't want to like share some of the websites they go to, the podcasts they listen to, because they don't want to like lose the edge that they have, maybe. But in our case, just do it for us, please.
Who's getting an edge from this podcast?
Yeah, exactly. You're listening because you want to hear us talk about the Acela Quiet Car or whatever. It's a stupid thing I'm rambling about. No, but thank you for listening to the podcast. I actually hope that this was I thought it was a good discussion. I actually feel like I learned something from this particular episode.
Well, we could always do better. So, yeah, let us know what Josh and I could be doing better.
Yeah, let's end on a sour note.
Until then, good luck in Gaming 2. And Josh, Poku forever.
Yes, and hail Mbakani. And hail Lord Sarloth. We've got a few minutes.
Well done. His head was looking tremendous.
Truly.
Bye.
Bye.